की जय। नाम
चाहिदा कृष्ण रामनंद श्री अजय श्री वसवी श्री गौर वक्रिंद की सामवेद वक्रिंद की पूरा प्रेम नंद ग्लोरी श्री सिंह ग्लोरी श्री सिंह ग्लोरी श्री गौर। Translation or?
Yes,
yeah. You have a corner over there?
In the X touch was up to this one.
Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Samhiti Nayane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharani Nivishai Sarasvati Vari Prasthacharya Sutarane ओम ज्ञान त्रिमलंदर्श विरंजन शिलाकया चक्षुर मिलितुं जैन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। पंचकल्पतृभ्यश्च कृतसिन्धुभ्यश्च तिक्तान पावने ओम परशुरे नमः। So this evening we are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is. This is chapter 6, Dhyana Yoga. So this is text number 25. This evening, which is on the board for chanting. I think I'd like to do 26 also, to get, they're very close together, and both have short purports, but we'll chant 25, so say after me. Shanai,
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 Uparamed, Uparamed,
Buddhya,
Buddhya,
Vritti,
Vritti,
Vritti, Grihitaya,
Grihitaya,
Atma,
Atma,
Samstam,
Samstam,
Mana,
Mana,
Vipa,
Vipa,
Na,
Na,
Kinchit,
Kinchit,
Api,
Api,
Shintaye,
Shintaye,
Shana, Shana, Rupa, Rame,
Shana, Shana,
Buddhyadritti grihitaya
Buddhyadritti grihitaya
Atmasamstam manakritva
Atmasamstam manakritva
Nakinchiddhapi chintaye
Nakinchiddhapi chintaye
Shanai shanai rupārame
Shanai shanai rupārame
Buddhyadritti grihitaya
Buddhyadritti grihitaya
Atmasamstam manakritva
Atmasamstam manakritva
Nakinchit api chintaye
Nakinchit api chintaye
Shanashanaya uparame
Shanashanaya uparame
Ujjagritti grihitaya
Ujjagritti grihitaya
Atmasamstam manakritva
Atmasamstam manakritva
Nakinchitapi chintaye
Nakinchitapi chintaye
Shanai shanai uparame
Shanai shanai uparame
Ujjagriti
grihitaya
Sarma atma samastama kritva
Atma samastama kritva
Nakinchit api chintaye
Nakinchit api chintaye
Shanai shanai uparame Buddhyadritti grihitaya
Buddhyadritti grihitaya
Atma samstham manakritva
Atma samstham manakritva
Nakinchidapi chintaye
Nakinchidapi chintaye
Shanai shanai uparamet
Shanai shanai uparamet
Buddhaya dhriti grihitaya
Buddhaya dhriti grihitaya
Atma samstham manakritva
Atma samstham manakritva
Nakinchit api cintaye.
Nam ishvara api cintaye.
Shanaya shanaya parame.
Shanaya shanaya parame.
Pujya driti grihitaya.
Pujya driti grihitaya.
Atma samstam manakritva.
Atma samstam manakritva.
Nakim shira api cintaye.
Nam ishvara api cintaye.
Shanaya
shanaya parame.
Pujya driti grihitaya.
Pujya driti grihitaya.
Atma samstam manakritva.
Atma samstam manakritva.
Nakinchidapi chintaye.
Nakinchidapi chintaye.
Shanaya gradually.
Gradually.
Shanaya step by step.
Step by step.
Uparamet. One should hold back.
One should hold back.
Buddhya. By intelligence.
By intelligence.
Dritti.
Dritti.
Vihitaya.
Vihitaya.
Carried by conviction.
Carried by conviction.
Atmasamstam.
Atmasamstam.
Placed in transcendence.
Placed in transcendence.
Manaha.
Mana,
mind.
Kritva,
kritva, making.
Making.
Na,
na,
not.
Not.
Kinshit,
kinshit.
Anything else.
Anything else.
Happy, even.
Even.
Chintayet,
chintayet.
Should think of.
Should think of.
Translation. Gradually, step by step, one should become situated in trance. By means of intelligence, sustained by full conviction. And thus the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. Srila Prabhupada's purport. By proper conviction and intelligence, one should gradually cease sense activities. This is called pratyahara. The mind being controlled by conviction, meditation, and cessation from the senses should be situated in trance, or samadhi. At that time, there is no longer any danger of becoming engaged in the material conception of life. In other words, although one is involved with matter, as long as the material body exists, one should not think about sense gratification. One should think of no pleasure aside from the pleasure of the Supreme Self. This state is easily attained by directly practicing Krishna consciousness. So here, we'll go on to the next one a little bit, but here, as you know, Krishna is outlining the process of yoga. And here, this Ashta Anga Yoga, the Eightfold Yoga, of which one step is Pratyahara, withdrawal of the senses from the objects. And then dhyana, concentration of the mind. Because the goal of the yoga practice is to become, reach the state called samadhi, where the mind, the intention is fixed upon the Lord and never goes away. 100%. Concentration of the mind on the Lord. This is the original yoga system by Patanjali, which is theistic originally. If you look at the Patanjali yoga sutras, one of the very beginning thing is worship of the Lord and meditation on the Supreme Lord Ishvara is the goal. But the yoga system has also been adapted by other people. There's the original Ashtanga Yoga, and then people, Shaivites, then made some modification and created Hatha Yoga. And now there's so many yogas. Everybody has their Iyengar Yoga, and this yoga, that everybody's got their yoga system. And most people, of course, are not anymore practicing it for spiritual life, but to make the bottom small. I read that in the New York Times. That's the purpose of yoga. Well, people are all kinds of other things. But here, we're taking it seriously as a spiritual discipline. And as such, it's extremely difficult. Krishna has already talked about what even the preliminary steps are. And you have to go away and to a lonely place, a sacred place. You have to be fearless. You have to be brahmacharya from the very beginning. This is just entry requirement, never mind anything else. But the point is that Prabhupada is making is the same principles apply to Krishna consciousness. This is not exactly like the Ashtanga Yoga process, where really the goal is to literally you shut down the body. After by practicing these pranayama and asana and pranayama, you can sit still for long periods of time. You don't have to eat because your body is slowing down, your breathing is slow, you just sit in one place, you don't move for long periods of time. Pratyahara, you withdraw the senses from the objects, your eyes are half closed. Then the next problem is your senses are not looking at anything, but your mind is still engaged. Pratyahara, dharana, concentration of the mind, dhyana, meditation, so you have to fix the mind on the Supreme without any deviation, just by sitting still. It's extremely, you have to be the kind of like Olympic athlete, spiritual athlete of Olympic status to do this. I mean, you are a virtuoso, not everyone can do this. The process of bhakti makes this available to more people, because bhakti achieves the same effect, not by trying to stop all the senses, but rather by engaging the senses in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesha, Rishikena Sevaram Bhakti Ruchate. It can be done, and you don't have to go away to a lonely place. You can actually do it as Arjuna is being taught, in the middle of a battlefield, if that's your service. You can use the senses and even perform the ordinary activities of life, but you can do it in such a way that you are still not engaged with the senses for sense gratification. The senses and the sense objects are by themselves not the problem. The problem is sense gratification. One needs to cease from sense gratification. Why? Because Sense gratification is the cause of bondage in the material world. We are in this material world and we are suffering repeated birth and death because of our false identification of the self with the material body. You learn, everybody learns, aham brahmasmi, I am not my body. I am spirit soul, I'm spirit, therefore I'm not matter, therefore I'm not this body. And we learn that because we think we are this body, everything that happens to the body, I experience is happening to me. We are looking to satisfy the self, but we think that the self is the body, and also this includes the mind. We think the self is the body and the mind. We try to satisfy the self by satisfying the body and the mind. But it does not work. Rather, a devotee is supposed to finally understand Veda Dukkhatmakam Kamam, that all the essence of all sense gratification is dukkha. Everything that everyone thinks is happiness is actually suffering. Why is sense gratification? Sense gratification is the cause of suffering. Krishna says this in the fifth chapter. The previous chapter, Yehi Samsparshaja Boga Dukkha Yonaya Evate. This very simple statement says that the world is just the opposite of what everybody thinks. He says that those pleasures that are born out of the contact between the senses and their objects. Samsparsaja boga. You put the senses together with the objects and there's some boga. There's some pleasure. He said, dukkha yonaya evate. That pleasure is the source of all dukkha, suffering. This is a fact of life. Krishna tells us this. You all know it. Because everyone thinks it's just the opposite. We feel some pleasure, we feel good, let's keep doing it. We'll feel better. And of course, the whole economy is running on convincing us to increase our pleasure by buying automobiles, watches, perfume, everything, and then we'll become happy. It's all a lie. It actually causes suffering. Why does it cause suffering? Because every time we try to enjoy, it increases our identification with the material body. Because see, I can say, okay, I'm a Hare Krishna, I'm not my body. But as soon as something happens, oh, look what happened to me. I heard this, you know, I'm fearful. So it's just a mental, you know, I'm not my body, but where's the realized knowledge? So that comes about. That's why for realized knowledge there's a discipline and one has to stop this process of trying to become happy by gratifying the senses. We do not disagree with the materialists. The goal of life is to enjoy. We also believe in being happy, really happy. But we know that the method the world is taking to become happy just increases misery. But a devotee who's Krishna conscious, like Prabodhananda says, Vishwa Purna Sukhayate, the whole world becomes full of joy. Because no sense gratification, then it becomes full of joy. Every moment, happiness. Why? Because when the sense gratification has come to an end and the consciousness becomes pure, then Krishna appears. Where does Krishna appear? Inside, outside, this side, that side, up, down. Everywhere you look, there's Krishna. because there's nothing but Krishna. And he said, wow, this is, as every minute, is happiness. So we should be convinced of this. When it says here, by conviction, this is the conviction that we should understand this very clearly. We should become very convinced of this. If we still think there's some prospect for happiness in the material world, there's not much, we're not so much eligible for spiritual life. Therefore, Prabhupada said one should be pessimistic about the material world. He even says in the Bhagavad Gita, we should talk about the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. Because as long as we're thinking, somehow or other in this material world I'll find some way to be happy, well, we won't take to this process. So one should understand this. You can take it on authority. Krishna says in this Bhagavad Gita, this material world, dukkalayam ashaswatam. It's temporary and it's miserable. He made it, he should know. He said, his stamp is, this is what it is. Mm-hmm. Temporary and miserable. If you don't believe him, I don't know how many lifetimes it will take. It shouldn't take any lifetime. It should take 2 seconds. It should take 2 seconds. Because all we have to do is look around. We think, oh, here we're in a nice country, this is a vast country, this is Zurich, it's so nice. When you pick up the newspaper and read about Darfur in Africa, those people are dying there. In Zurich, no one dies? No, it's actually the death rate is going away. The death rate here is the same as it is there, it's 100%. But the same process are going on here. But somehow we think, oh, this is a nice day. And when something happens, you know, you have somebody close to you, a brother or parent or somebody suddenly dies with some accident. Oh, the whole world changes. What is this world? You see? They call this, what is it in Sanskrit? Shvasanam Vairagya, the renunciation of the crematorium. That when somebody dies and you see, then for a little while you think, oh, look at this world, look how horrible it is, look what happened. And then you forget. It's just temporary. Then, you know. I've been to family funerals, you know, everybody's crying, and then they open the whiskey, and and then everybody starts to enjoy it again. They forget. But don't forget. If you know what it's like when you're in this state of grief, you should understand that within, you know, just 20 kilometers of here, so many people are suffering like that all the time. I suffer because somebody died as my brother or something, you know, because I happen to have a body relation, but right, why don't I have a relationship with everybody? Why don't I care about everyone the same? If I cared, you should see. Prabhupada came to the West because people were suffering. Can you imagine somebody leaving India to go to the West because people are suffering? But you can see that people are suffering. But we are so confused by our advertisements and our propagandas and by our denial of reality. We like the happy endings, the Hollywood happy endings. So we should be convinced like this. We should understand the difficulty with sense gratification. Now it's hard to give up because we are addicted. We are addicted to this. we mistake it for happiness. Really, we have a relationship with Krishna. And in that relationship with Krishna, our senses are, we have spiritual senses. It's not that there's no sense gratification in the spiritual world. There are, it is. But there, our business is to satisfy Krishna's senses. Because he's the center. He's the soul of everything. He's the self of all selves. And in our natural relationship, when I satisfy Krishna's senses, I find I'm fully satisfied. But in the material world, something has happened. We've forgotten Krishna, and now we are trying to become little Krishnas ourselves. We are here trying to be God, trying to satisfy our senses. But we become addicted to the sense gratification, and Krishna disappears from view. We identify with the body and we suffer. Prabhupada wrote once that, he said, death is an illusion we've imposed upon ourselves due to our desire to enjoy in this world. It's an illusion. The soul is without any birth or death at any time. But we have this illusion because of this desire to enjoy. But we've become addicted to it. We think we need it for happiness. Not at all. We don't need it. It's a mistake. We don't need this body. So, we should, in this yoga process, one needs to stop thinking about sense gratification. This is called controlling the mind. It's, here it says buddhya, by intelligence. Now, bhakti yoga, this is what we do. We have in our impurity, the mind has become accustomed to looking at everything in terms of sense gratification. When I see something in the world, I simply want to accept and reject in terms of my own sense gratification. I care about only my enjoyment. And so when I see anything, I simply always looking in terms of sense gratification. Will it make me feel good? I meet some other human being. I think, will this person maybe be a good sexual partner or not? Or somebody I want to know for social reasons or not? Or will I make some money or not? Or something about my sense gratification. Everything we look at is in terms of enjoyment. So our Krishna consciousness, we take the senses and we retrain them. And we actually start off with something very basic and elemental, what you eat. Now I'm going to only everything that I have first, all the food stuff, I will offer to Krishna. Everything that I eat, I will now offer to Krishna. That means when I shop for food stuff, when I cook it, I think I'm feeding Krishna. Krishna is going to enjoy this. So immediately things start to look different. Now I don't want this, but because Krishna will like it or Krishna won't like it. So this way we begin to retrain the senses. So they start looking at the world in a different way. If I'm a devotee and I'm compassionate and I look at somebody, I think, not will I enjoy this person, but can I bring this person to Krishna for Krishna to enjoy? For me, I'm hands off. But I will bring this person to Krishna. So we go on the street sometimes with books and we're looking for somebody. We're looking to meet people. Why? So they can come to Krishna for Krishna's satisfaction. So we have a systematic retraining of the senses. So Prabhupada says, when you read this sentence, although one is involved with matter, as long as the material body exists, one should not think about sense gratification. What do I think about? I think about Krishna's service. I get so absorbed in Krishna's service, and that's my aim. It's Krishna's sense gratification. And now, I start to see Krishna is the center of enjoyment, not me. It's different from materialistic religions. People go to church and they worship God. They still think I'm the enjoyer, but God is out there to kind of keep me. I'll do regulated enjoyment and he'll help me enjoy. Very few people understand, know that God is the enjoyer, not me. He's the center of enjoyment. So this is training of this state. So we have to purify the mind. We purify the senses, we stop engaging in sense gratification by engaging in Krishna conscious activities, and then we purify the mind. Right now we're in the material world and our mind is difficult to concentrate on Krishna. It's difficult. So here, just the next text, Krishna says, he notices, from wherever the mind wanders, this is text 26, yata nischalati, when the mind becomes agitated and flickering, unsteady, wherever it goes because it's like this, it wants to go here and there, from wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So, the senses we may be able to control a little bit, but the mind is full of all ideas of sense gratification. And in the mind there's this one thing that's called karmashaya, is the strong desire to enjoy in this world. Karmashaya. It's called a knot in the heart, Hridaya Granthi. That's in there. But here he's saying, Krishna's saying, wherever the mind wanders, goes to something else, you bring it back. Prabhupada says, the nature of the mind is flickering and unsteady. But a self-realized yogi has to control the mind. The mind should not control him. How many people try to control the mind? They're trying to control big armies, they're trying to control huge businesses, they're trying to control the stock market, but their own minds, that nobody trusts. One who controls the mind, and therefore the senses as well, is called Goswami or Swami. One who is controlled by the mind is called Godasa, or servant of the senses. A Goswami knows the standard of happiness, the standard of sense happiness. In transcendental sense happiness, notice Prabhupada says sense happiness. There is sense happiness. It's not that there's no happiness. The real happiness. In transcendental sense happiness, the senses are engaged in the service of Rishikesh, or the supreme owner of the senses, Krishna. Serving Krishna with purified senses is called Krishna consciousness. That is the way of bringing the senses under full control. What is more, that is the highest perfection of yoga practice. But we have to engage it. It is a practice, yeah, that's of controlling the mind. And in the very beginning of this chapter, you remember, Prabhupada and Krishna actually talks about that one has to conquer the mind. If we've conquered the mind is our best friend. If we haven't, it's our worst enemy. The yoga system is centered about the mind. It's about conquering the mind that is flickering and unsteady. So you'll notice in our practice that the closest thing we come to a process of meditation, of sitting down quietly, is when we chant japa, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We're supposed to, we're initiated devotees, chant 16 rounds a day. That's about 2 hours, 1.5, 2 hours of focusing the mind on the Hare Krishna Mantra. It's a process because here's Krishna in the form of sound. This is a Nam avatar. This is an avatar of Krishna in the form of sound, very convenient. Candy, fits right in your mouth, take it everywhere. Very nicely, Krishna has come, 16 words and 32 syllables. So you can just carry it wherever you go, chant it wherever you want. And that Hare Krishna mantra is Krishna. Abhinatva namana namana. Because there's no difference between the name Krishna and the person Krishna. Krishna is fully there. But here, out of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, Krishna is fully available to us in the form of his name. And Krishna, Lord Chaitanya says, it's full of spiritual potencies. Full of spiritual potencies. However, Mahaprabhu says that in spite of all this, he says, Dava Kripa, this is your mercy. That it's so easy to chant, that you have so many names, and they're full of your potencies, but this is Dava Kripa, this is your mercy. But Mama Durdai Vimiti Samiha Jani Narayana, my misfortune is that my Durdaiva is that I have no attraction. I'm still not interested. Why? Well, that Durdaiva is that because he's saying I commit offenses when I'm chanting. Otherwise, when we say Hare Krishna, we should see Krishna. And if we don't, it's because our mind is still not clear. So therefore, we are advised to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra while trying to give up offenses. We know these 10 offenses against the Holy Name, and we need to give them up. And while we're chanting, especially a japa, the offense we need to work on is pramadaha, or distraction, inattentiveness while chanting. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this inattentiveness is the seed bed in which all the other offenses grow. And that if we're not trying to become free from inattentiveness, we will not succeed in becoming free from any other offenses. So if we are serious about our spiritual life, we sit down and we focus the mind on the Hare Krishna mantra, and we just hears that sound, and we are praying to the holy name, but somehow the mind wanders, it goes off, it just like it says here, it goes away. Now, if we just let it go and get so many good ideas, as somebody told me once, I got so many good ideas, we just let the mind wander, then that's just offensive chanting. And then there's no fault, the potencies are not manifest. It's just like letters of the alphabet, the whole name. But if we see the mind wanders and we bring it back, then we're chanting on the clearing stage. And all of the pure name is manifest, the dawning light of the name is manifest, it's not abhasa. And that destroys all our sinful reactions. Actually brings one to the point of liberation. The pure name gives prema. So simply by making this effort, the mind wanders, we bring it back, which is just what Krishna says. Wherever the mind wanders, you bring it back. This is practice. This needs to be done. Ultimately, we have to cry at the feet of the holy name. We need to get the mercy of the holy name. But just if we pay, first of all, we have to pay Krishna the courtesy of some attention. We're calling on Krishna. The names are in the vocative case. We're asking Krishna to come into our hearts. So I have to pay attention. If I invite somebody to my house, and I invite my spiritual master or some important person is coming to my house, I've asked them to come, and so at the appointed time they arrive, I'm up there to greet them. I'm in my backyard digging in the garden. That's rude. It's an insult, it's an offense. So similarly, we are calling on Krishna, we have to be there. We care. At least we have to try. We understand the mind is difficult. Anyway, you'll see later on in this chapter, Arjuna makes this objection. He says, this can't be done. Because the mind is like trying to control the wind. It just is so strong wind, you just can't hold it back. But Krishna says, no. He says, well, first he says, yeah, this is difficult. The mind is tough. It really is hard. He admits that. But then he said, but it can be done. It's possible, he says. And he says two things. Abhyasena and vairagya, by abhyasa and by vairagya. The word abhyasa means practice. Well, really the meaning of abhyasa or practice is repetition. You do it over and over again. You ever have to learn a musical instrument? You know, you have to do it over and over again. You have your little violin, da 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 da, over and over and over again. That's practice. That's repetition. Anybody gets good, they want to learn a musical instrument or a sport or any skill. They do it over and over and again. This is abhyasa. Abhyasa yogena yuktena. Krishna says in the 8th chapter, do you not remember this verse? I'll find it. It's 8, I think. Again, he uses the same word, abhyasa. Abhyasa yogena yuktena. Anyone who is engaged by this avyasa yoga, by this repetitive practices, chetasa na anya gamana, with the mind not going anywhere else, paramam purusham divyam yati, he attains the Supreme Person. Anachintayam, because there's this constant meditation on me. Abhyasa yogena yuktena. This abhyasa. Also, the word abhyasa shows up in the 12th chapter. You should look at that sometime. So this is this practice and vairagya. Vairagya means detachment. We're trying to make the mind it says peaceful. It's supposed to be, so our attention is supposed to be on Krishna like a candle, a flame in a windless place, steady like that. So if the mind is all agitated with material desires and wantingness and that, we can't concentrate. So the more detached we are, the easier it is to control the mind. So Krishna says it can be done. It can be done by the suitable practice, especially because we are coming under the shield of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's especially much easier. It's actually doable. It's probably just practical. American unless it's doable now. It can be done. So here we these Prabhupada, somebody asked Prabhupada in London, there's so many swamis and gurus coming from India, how are you different from them? And Prabhupada says, we do not bluff. In other words, we tell people the truth. Because most people, in order to get followers, they say, yes, you can become God, you can attain some high spiritual state, and you can enjoy at the same time. I had a laugh when a few years ago, Swami sent out pamphlets that said, enjoy but in a spirit of renunciation. That you're going to have sense gratification but not get attached. It doesn't happen. They're bluffing. So Prabhupada was clear about this. That they're simply the laws of spiritual life. There's self-realization and there's sense gratification. Any, I'm not just talking about it's in the Bhagavad Gita, it's in the Bible, it's in Dharma Sutras of the Buddhas. I mean, anywhere there's serious spiritual life, this is the law. Let's say here on my right hand, this is sense gratification. This is self-realization on the right. This is self-realization. Here on this side is sense gratification. Right? So imagine like a balance, you know, with an old-fashioned balance. You see in India, they put the bananas on one side and the weights on the other. So it is. So because this is they're inversely proportioned. See, so because if self-realization is going up, if you look on the other side, sense gratification goes down. And if sense gratification is going up, you look at the other side, self-realization goes down. This is the law. This, where they go up together, that does not happen. So this is just the facts of life. So therefore, Prabhupada has given us this program to follow. It's as easy as it gets, because we engage our senses in Krishna service. We can very quickly, with a little care and attention, gain a taste for the activities of Krishna consciousness. We engage our senses and in this way, we don't have to sit and try to think of nothing. We can think of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You know, these people that try to just meditate and make the mind silent. Prabhupada said chanting Hare Krishna is silence. Why? Because there's no material sound. So we have the transcendental engagement of the senses. Whatever people are trying to do by silent meditation, we achieve that already by chanting Hare Krishna. And so we have spiritual objects of the senses. Krishna has made himself available to our senses in so many ways. He's come in the form of the Hare Krishna mantra, come in the form of the deities, come in the form of prasada, come in the form of so many books. All these are ways Krishna has become present to, even though we have materially contaminated senses, still Krishna makes him available, makes himself available to us, so that we can actually practice this yoga in the serious way, in the full way. Okay, any comments, questions? Yes.
You mentioned in your class at the beginning that some relatives are dying, and so those who are attached to those relatives who are close to us, lamenting. People can find also in the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Haridas Thakur was passing away, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also lamenting. So what is the difference between two of them?
Devotees lament when a devotee passes away because we are feeling separation. That's why. You see that song we sing, Jaya Nila Prema. We feel sort of separation from the devotee. Although Prabhupada always says there's nothing to lament, still we feel separation, but at the same time we can associate through strong feelings of separation. So it's a little different. It's not that sometimes when somebody closes us to us die, we say, what is the meaning of life? Everything, what is anything worth? We're in despair about other people, we're in despair about ourselves. There's no despair in Krishna consciousness. So, nevertheless, attachment to devotees is different from material attachment. Attachment to devotees, we should get attached to devotees. But that attachment, a relationship with a devotee, means that actually, even if there's two devotees, there's three people. The third person is Krishna. When there's just two and no Krishna, that's called sense gratification. But when we are together serving Krishna, then there may be some separation, long-term or short-term separation. But ultimately there's no separation because we're eternal associates. Brahmacharya said in the letter, there's another ISKCON in the spiritual sky. And we are eternal associates. So, we are not relating to each other on the basis of sense gratification. I'm not relating to a devotee because this devotee is somehow satisfying my senses. And because together we are satisfying Krishna's senses. Still, I have great affection for devotees because we appreciate devotees very much. We see, even if they're new devotees, we appreciate what they're trying to become. Even if they have so many faults, we go, okay, they'll go away fairly soon. But I see this pure devotee coming out. So we appreciate devotees. We should become very attached to devotees. And so on one level, but if there's some separation, we may feel grief about that. But at the same time, we understand that this is a temporary situation. Because we're eternal associates. We look at a materialist who wants to enjoy the world. They have their little family, their friends. They want to go over there. They want everything to go on. And then people start dying. You know, you reach my age. I had four brothers. Two are dead already. They're both of them younger than me, actually. Two are dead already. My father's dead. All my grandparents are dead. Only my mother is left. And there was this family, and now it's just vanished. It's just gone. And people, it's just here. You think there's something, and just the force of time that just goes away. People wanted to stay, and they wanted to be there, and it just won't do that. It all vanishes. Every time one human being dies, like a whole world disappears, and it's just disappearing all the time. They can't have that. They want to stay together on the basis of the body, and it doesn't work. Because they don't want to give up the sense gratification. When you're a devotee, we say, I don't own anything. Everything belongs to Krishna. That's like dying too. See, because what happens when you die? You give up everything. You have to renounce. When we say to people in our preaching, they look at, do I want to be a devotee like you? They think, do I want to give up everything and bow down to Krishna? No. What happens at the time of death? They give up everything. They never had it to begin with, but the illusion that was there, they give it up. And they also bow down to Krishna. They acknowledge a superior power, force of material nature, which is Krishna's nature. They have to do it. We do it the nice way. We learn not to treat each other for sense gratification. We are together because we're serving Krishna. And so actually our eternal life has begun. It's already here. If we're in a temple in the association of devotees and we are together serving Krishna, there will be no change. It's just that, you know, be another location, but we'll all be together and we'll be serving Krishna. I read this definition of death once. It was before I became a devotee. In fact, I read it in an astrology book of all places, but it's still one of the best definitions of death I ever read. It said that death is the ultimate failure to perpetuate relationships. So we form relationships in the world, we all want to keep them going. Sometimes this happens and that happens. Couples break up and children hate their parents. And we always try to keep these relationships going, but ultimately there's death. There's the ultimate failure to keep our relationships going. So if we are eternal associates as devotees, then death is not the problem, because our relationships will go on. They will not be broken by death. But we should be convinced of this. Because it's true. Anything else? Any questions? Yes?
At the beginning you said Krishna is the enjoyer, he's enjoying us, but sometimes I ask myself, like, we make so many mistakes, or like there's so much war and everything going on, how can he enjoy this war?
Well, he doesn't enjoy our suffering. Now, right now, when we're distracted from Krishna, the relationship between us and Krishna is right now broken. We've forgotten Krishna, although he hasn't forgotten us. He's trying to bring us back. But Krishna himself is the supreme enjoyer. and he enjoys with his devotees. The devotees, because Krishna enjoys love. And actually, he enters into relationships with his devotees. So much so that he becomes controlled by the love of his devotees. Prabhupada says that devotional service is transcendentally more powerful than Krishna, because Krishna is prema vashaha, one of his qualities. He's controlled by the love of his devotees. So the what goes on in the relationship with Krishna, when a devotee serves Krishna and just gives everything to make Krishna happy, Krishna immediately wants to serve the devotee more. Although we're the servant, he's the master, he wants to become the servant of the devotees. He tries to do more for the devotee. And the devotee, when he sees that happening, he goes, oh no, I don't want to do more for Krishna. So they have a kind of competition. So this relationship between Krishna and the devotee is very, very close and always increasing. Krishna's bliss is always increasing because of the relationships with the devotees in this exchange. So the devotee only wants to satisfy Krishna. This is what it means to be a pure devotee. And Krishna will do anything for the devotee, but all the devotee wants is give me more facility to satisfy you. But because Krishna is the center, it's like the hand. If the hand wants to be nourished, it has to give food to the stomach, and then the hand is nourished. If the hand just by itself tries to eat, then nothing happens. So as soon as we're in a relationship with Krishna, a devotee, the more he sees that Krishna is satisfied, then the more the devotee is satisfied. So really, a devotee has no other way of experiencing happiness except by seeing that Krishna is happy in all respects. The more Krishna becomes, the less I think of my own happiness, and the more I think of Krishna's happiness, the more my own happiness increases. Yeah. This is what happens. So, but if we are off, by ourselves, trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, we are only suffering. And Krishna wants to bring us back. We're like a person who has a dream. It's described in the Bhagavatam. We're like a sleeping person undergoing some kind of nightmare of material existence. Krishna wants to wake us up. But he's just waiting. And when we restore to Krishna consciousness, the bad qualities all go away. The good qualities are our real qualities. The bad qualities are just some, just Maya. It disappears. Anything else? Yes.
You said that the holy name is so merciful that it can be taken anywhere. Like we just pronounce it and it is there.
Mm-hmm.
I've had difficulties with chanting for many years because I didn't concentrate enough, and it started really becoming so distasteful to me that I thought I'd better stop it, because I felt like I'm training myself being spaced out. And I read this book from Ishan Gorakhpur, where he writes scientific research on training the mind, doing one thing, and like you pronounce, you chant, but your mind is doing something else, so you're systematically training schizophrenia. I really felt better stop and start from scratch, start chanting one good round a day or something like that. I just have this, now I really stopped chanting for many months, and I have this doubt now whether the holy name is really there.
No, the holy name is there, you're not there. The holy name is there. And sometimes people have built up this bad habit of inattentive chanting. And it's true, at that time there's the potencies of the holy name are not there, and sometimes there can be some kind of misfortune by that. But it's just very simple. One just has to sit down, and it's not that you have to be perfect in concentration. It's just one has to be trying. In other words, Prabhupada has described the three levels of chanting or stages. One is offensive. So when the mind is wandering and I just let it wander, that's offensive chanting. And when that's taking place, there's none of the potencies manifest and become frustrated and angry, anything like that. There's pure chanting, the mind's fixed on Krishna and never goes anywhere else. If for some reason you have to think of something else, it immediately goes back to Krishna. You don't know why, just think of something, suddenly Krishna's there. Just like now, we're trying to think about Krishna and suddenly we're thinking of something else. You don't know why that happened. It's just the opposite. But in this stage, the clearing stage, you're trying to concentrate. In other words, the mind may go off so many times, even in one round, but just when you notice, you bring it back. You notice, you bring it back. And it's hard work. But that's the clearing stage. You notice, you bring it back. You're trying to become free from offenses. So right away, if one just practices like that for, I was not trained properly in the beginning of my career in Krishna consciousness. We thought that japa was something we had to get through so we can go out and distribute books or something. It was not so. And it was hard work, and it was just not properly trained how to do this. And I finally had to almost figure it out for myself what we were supposed to do. And when I understood how what one is supposed to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and I started doing like that, I mean, everything changed. You go from the offensive to the clearing platform, it's another world. Because you start making spiritual progress, and all of a sudden, ISKCON looks better, and Shastra suddenly becomes interesting, all kinds of things happen because of that. So I would not, I would just, if you start from scratch, that's fine. If you want to chant fewer rounds in the beginning, but concentrate, and then gradually increase, that's fine. But don't think that it has to be perfect before you get any benefit. No, what you get the benefit when you're seriously trying. Then that's at least because this one, this when one is not, when one is not pure but is trying to become pure, not offenseless but trying to become offenseless. This what's manifest is this nam-abhasa, is what it's called. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, abhasa means the projection of light into darkness. So Haridas Thakur compares it to the dawning twilight. The sun is below the horizon, but the light of the sun is in the sky. So the forest at night is a dangerous place. There's robbers and thieves. There's wild animals, and these things, Bhutas, Pretas, Pistulas, ghosts, hobgoblins, demons. but he says just the dawning light of the sun makes the forest safe. the wild animals go back to their caves, and the robbers go back to their hideouts, and Dracula has to go back into his coffin. And it's nice. This is so similar. He says this just Namabas destroys all sinful reaction. And so it's potent. So unfortunately, people haven't done it right, or sometimes haven't been changed right. And I've seen what happens to people. I'm chanting and chanting, and nothing is happening. And what's wrong? And then I'm feeling bad about myself. And then things get worse. I start finding fault with other devotees. Yeah, it's not good. So I'm glad you're fixing it.
Maharaj, there is also Srila Rupa Goswami is giving also some tip how to develop this six loving exchange between devotees, which can help also to develop this understanding between each other, to like Goya Makyati Plichati, like to reveal one's mind to one each other, to help each other to understand what is the meaning of the Maha Mantra, what is the meaning of my doubts, and how to express our doubts also. Sometimes we keep our doubts and we stay alone.
Because we're afraid,
And we stay alone in our corner, we don't dare to go to other devotees. But this Bhakti Sangha, we have Bhakti Sangha in Switzerland, which is nice, or Bhakti Vriksha or Namaha. It's a powerful instrument also to come together, to help each other.
Yeah, that's the whole the thing. This is the Sankirtan movement. Sankirtan means many things, but Sankirtan movement means, since that's the process for the sage, that actually we have to practice Krishna consciousness in the association of devotees. That means we will not go back to Godhead by ourselves. We either all go back together or not at all. So this is a very important thing we cultivate the holy name, and we cultivate proper relationships with devotees. Yeah. Okay, it's 9 o'clock. We should stop. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.